Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sharad here with you this evening. Now, according to the Director General of Health, by the end of this week, Malaysia will double our daily testing capacity to 7,000 daily tests. Now, by the end of the first week of April, it will be increased to 16,500 daily tests. Ministry data shows that of yesterday, Malaysia had done close to 18,000 tests. Now, that works out to be about 560 tests per million people, which is fewer than Singapore's 4,500 tests per million. Joining us on the line now to further explain Malaysia's approach to testing for COVID-19, we have Dr. Musa Nordin, consultant paediatrician and formerly with the now-defunct Health Advisory Council. Good evening, Dr. Musa. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Based on the numbers that I've just mentioned, do you think that we are testing adequately in Malaysia?
Well, better late than never, right? I think it should have been done much, much earlier at the inception of the disease. And you remember that when the first case was reported on 31st December, right, we were only doing tests in the PUI, persons under investigation. And the PUS, the persons under surveillance, were not tested. They were just told to self-isolate, to quarantine, and were given HAT, health assessment tools, and told to see their doctors if they were unwell. So I think we should be testing widely from the start of the outbreak, because the golden rule for any epidemic is 3 T's. Testing, testing, testing.
But Dr. Musa, what would have been the constraints on government then? We know, of course, so much more about the disease today. It's much more global today than it was 2 months ago. Why do you think that government then, in fact, did not go down that route?
I honestly don't know. You must ask the government or the Director General. But this is basic public health, yeah? You must test because you want to elucidate the burden of the disease in the community. You want to know how many people are infected. You want to understand and localize where are the clusters. Yeah? This is not rocket science. So I think we should have kicked off from day one. But never mind, they're doing 20,000 hopefully in April. That is a good start. You must look at Korea. Korea is the benchmark. Yeah? The benchmark. Consider this, Sharad and Melissa. South Korea is a population of 52 million people. Up till today, they tested just under 330,000, i.e. about 1% of their population. And what was the positive result? 2.8%, which means for every 100 person, 3 were positive. So it tells you the burden of the disease, yeah? And it's very important for us to know this, because then only we can realize whether what we are doing is actually impacting on the incidence of COVID in the community.
Okay, so I want to ask you about that. So you said we don't know why the testing was not done previously, but we do know the testing will be increased to about 16,500 come the 1st of April. So who should we be testing then? You talked about PUIs and PUSs. Who should we be testing? Which groups, which risk groups should be priorities?
Well, I think definitely you want to do your PUI. You definitely now want to do your PUS, which was not tested before. And I think you want to do all those who... basically, I think you want to do all those who show symptoms of respiratory infection, yeah? Those who show evidence of ILI, influenza-like illnesses. Those who show evidence of SARI, severe acute respiratory infection. I think these are high risk. They must be tested. Yeah. And then when you have plane loads of our children coming back from Iran, from London, from Italy, yeah, from China, you want to test all of them. We have seen children coming back positive. Yeah. So the other problem is this, Melissa. This is a very, very smart virus. They are actually infecting us whilst we are asymptomatic. Yeah? So, which means that the incubation period is anything between 2 to 14 days. Most of them show symptoms at around 7 days. But in the first 2 or 4 days, they may not show any symptoms. They do not show any signs of COVID disease. And they can be very infectious.
Dr. Buzo, talk to us about capacity. Does our health system have the capacity to do the kinds of testing at the levels that you are, the intensity that you are advising today?
Capacity is a measure of preparedness. When it hit us on the 31st of December, how prepared were we? Did we forecast how bad it was going to be? So I think that was there was a lag there. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sure that funding was a major problem. But whatever it is, I think they're on the right track. We need to do this part. We need to understand exactly what is the burden of the disease. Yeah. Okay. And we've got tests available since very early in February. Yeah. In fact, the Chinese told the WHO and they told their colleagues in Australia the genome, and they were able to make available the test in early January. Yeah. So.
Okay, so can I come back to the funding, Dr. Musa, about that? I mean, the cost of testing is an issue as well. Testing costs about 450 to about 1,000 ringgit. Now, you tweeted yesterday that you said the cost price for testing is between 150 to 200. Can you explain the differential between the prices?
Well, it's the cost price is about 80 ringgit. You throw in the call hours, you throw in the PPEs, you throw in the other paraphernalia, probably works out to anything between 100 and 150 ringgit. Yeah? But some of the hospitals are charging anything between 500 to 1,000 ringgit. To me, this is obscene profiteering. And this is where government needs to step in. And I think there was failure in the government to make sure that the test is made affordable, right? I think it's high time, just like not just for testing, but also for our PPEs, for our masks, that the government steps in and make sure that there is a limit as to what the price should be. And I think you have to make it affordable, then more people can come forward for the test.
Explain to us, Dr. Musa, the reasons for early testing or as much testing as possible. Is it about early intervention, especially in the face of what seems to be no cure for the disease? Why is early detection important?
Hang on, Sarah. When you test, you identify your positive. So what goes next is contact tracing. So every person that was in contact with that guy needs to be traced. And that guy and all of the contacts needs to be isolated. So testing goes in tandem with contact tracing, i.e. tracking goes in tandem with quarantine. And of course, the next step is social distancing. So it is this quartet of interventions that will ensure that we flatten the COVID epidemic curve.
Okay. Yep. Well, you talked, Dr. Musa, a little bit about how, you know, the testing, you know, everybody needs to be tested, right? But the health ministry today said that there is no need for the public to use any kind of rapid test kit. Can you help explain why this rapid test kit is not recommended for COVID-19 testing?
Let me just very quickly explain the evolution of the introduction of the virus into our blood. Initially, we have the RNA COVID, SARS, COVID, COVID-2, yeah? It goes into the bloodstream, the viremia, that's the RNA. And then, by around 2 to 4 days, it develops the fever, the cough, that's when the antigen appears, yeah? And then, towards the end, 10 to 14 days, the antibody appears. So the best test to get it early, within the first 2 to 4 days is the PCR, the reverse transcriptase or real-time polymerase chain reaction. This is a wonderful test. The guy who invented it won a Nobel Prize. Basically, with tiny amounts of RNA, it is able to amplify it and then detect the three gene loci, right? So that will tell you an early diagnosis. Whilst this rapid test is based on the antibody. And as I mentioned it to you just now, the antibody only appears towards the convalescent stage, right? Whilst we hope another test that may come to the market is the based on the antigen. When the patient becomes symptomatic around 2 to 4 days, the antigen appears in the bloodstream, and you detect it with a rapid test, which can be done within 45 minutes. But we've yet to see a kit in the market.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing those insights with us, Dr. Musa. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on Consider This. Stay tuned.